Come now and let us hear from the Word of God the marvelous account of the resurrection. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came unto the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. And as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and quickly go and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead, and indeed he's going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran bringing his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, "Rejoice!" So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Hallelujah. What a word. What a word. Those faithful women on that early morning left the safety and the security of their place of abiding. And I would remind you that the scriptures tell us that the disciples, the men, were in hiding. But these women's love for Jesus was so great that they, in spite of how they would have been seen, in spite of what dangers they might have encountered for being identified publicly with Jesus, went to perform the sacred duty that the Jews performed for the dead after their passing, the sacred duty of taking sweet-smelling oils and perfumes and anointing the body. And we know that they were anxious, as recorded in the Gospel of Luke, as to who would move the stone for them. But they need not worry, for God sent the earthquake and moved the stone. And an angel met them. Can you imagine what must have been going through their minds? They went to the tomb with the heaviest of heart, expecting that things were going to be just as they always were when a person died. They went to the tomb full of grief and full of sorrow. And they had that all changed. Because God in his sovereign power had fulfilled his promise that his son would not see corruption. God always keeps his word. Read this holy word, my friends. Read it daily. God is faithful to his promise. And with the resurrection of Christ filling them with surprise, they went back to tell his disciples. Now, I think it's really important. It's really important to listen to the instructions of Jesus. Don't you think that's important? And the instruction of the risen Lord as he met them on the way, filling them with increasing joy, clarifying for sure what had happened that morning. He said to them, "Go tell my disciples, I am going before them into Galilee, and there they shall see me." Those words were for them, but also for us. Because the risen Lord did not want them to just worship him. He certainly wants that. But his resurrection calls them to their mission. Galilee was where it all started, you know. Jesus came out of Galilee preaching the good news, remember? And it was in Galilee that he began to reveal to those who loved him and those who didn't the purpose and plan of God for salvation. And so he tells the disciples to go to Galilee. And there they would see him. And we certainly remembered he was faithful to that, wasn't he? Because when they went up to Galilee and Peter went up to Galilee, you know, I guess of all the disciples, Peter was perhaps the most under conviction about his life. With the exception of Judas, poor Judas. Because the other disciples may have feared and hidden out, but Peter was the one that had denied him. I suspect Peter thought of those words, don't you, that are recorded in the Gospel of John, where Jesus says, "Whoever is ashamed of me in this sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in glory." You know, I behold Peter hearing the resurrection full of joy, but I rather suspect that since he immediately went back to Galilee and started fishing, his old way of life, he thought that he had no future in the gospel. And we remember that other moment of surprise when on the shore in the morning. Have you ever spent time on fresh water in the morning early? As the air is cooler than the water, and how the mist rises up from the water. Beautiful, isn't it? And through that mist, the disciples looked towards shore, and they saw someone. They really couldn't make out who it was. And they heard a voice saying, "Little children, have you caught any fish?" And like has often been my experience, they shouted, "We fished all night and caught nothing." And the voice on the shore said, "Take your nets and throw them to the other side." Now the fishermen of Galilee always released their nets from the right of the boat. So, most people being right-handed, when they went to retrieve them, they could pull with their right hand first. And so to throw it on the other side of the boat was unheard of, except for one other time. And that was at their calling long ago, when they heard someone say, throw the net in from the other side. And so they threw the net in from the left side. And suddenly it was filled with so many fish, they could not pull it hardly into the boat. And when this happened, Peter remembered. At that moment, he was surprised that he knew it was the Lord. And he didn't wait for the boat to get to shore. He pulled his clothes off and jumped in and swam to shore. And we know the rest of the story, that there he was restored to his apostleship, surprised. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was a surprise. Because when people are dead, they're dead, right? Except Christ proves that God's sovereign grace and plan is greater than even death. They were surprised that morning, but that surprise transformed their life. They knew then that nothing ultimately for those who are in Christ will ever overcome them. And we could see and go on about how their lives were transformed. Peter the coward became the man bold enough to look the most powerful men in his world in the eye and tell them what they did not want to hear, but what they desperately needed to hear. It was a surprise that transformed their life. It was the surprise that assured them that their work also was not done, but they were to go back to Galilee and start there, obeying him and preaching the gospel. We celebrate this morning their surprise. What a glorious gift it was for all who believe in Christ. We rejoice that the women went to the tomb and found it empty. We rejoice that he appeared to his disciples as an authentication of the reality of what the women had told them. We rejoice that in Christ Jesus we have the assurance of eternal life. We're going to look later in the day at this second service, the glory that comes through that knowledge for us. But in being reassured and comforted and empowered, they were told to go back to Galilee. Brothers and sisters, we've been surprised by the good news of the gospel, haven't we? We have shared in their surprise. But hear the rest of it. My friends, outside these walls, and perhaps even within these walls this morning, there is a lost and dying world. It is not only America that is going to hell in the handbasket, the whole world is. Now to you and I, filled with the joy of the resurrection, we should also be filled with the calling of the resurrection. God has elected you who believe and who have the promise of the resurrection to be the people that carry on his mission. And Jesus was very clear about it. He said, for this purpose I came. Now listen to that. This is Jesus talking. He said, for this purpose I came. To seek and to save that which was lost. It was his purpose to come and to save us. And to fill us with power and knowledge from the resurrection that we need not fear anything. But I would remind us also that those who see the living Lord, and we see him today by faith, that our calling is not in a place of worldly security. Our place is in the world that is living in insecurity. You know, the sad thing is that many of us, perhaps some here, go through a whole week without ever telling anyone about Jesus and his plan for their life to save them. Isn't that sad? You wonder why the church's influence is in decline? Because we receive the message of the resurrection, the surprising message, but we will not receive the directions from the risen Lord to go to the place of ministry. Every day you live and do not consciously pray, and consciously choose to speak the gospel message, is a day that you and I live in disobedience. Surprised by the resurrection. Surprised that God reverses even death. Surprised that when we've been unfaithful in our ministry, as was Peter, the Lord still comes, the resurrected Lord, to speak to us. May I tell you something from my life experience? My greatest joy in life is the knowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ has saved me. That as we talked about Friday night, that he took all his sins upon himself,
all my sins upon himself, all my sins, and through his blood washed me clean. And the consequences of being made clean is this: I shall see him. Even though I die, yet shall I live. But the second greatest joy is to take that power of the resurrection, that hope of the resurrection, that assurance of forgiveness, and share it with another person. And to see that joy here and there, not every time, not nearly at all every time, but from here and there and in places, see another soul accept Jesus and know the surprise and joy of that Easter morning. Shame upon us if that is not our second great joy in life. Jesus was raised from the dead to give you hope. But the still living Savior gives you direction. All of us have our Galilees, don't we? Maybe it's where we work at the bank. Maybe it's where we work manufacturing and supervising a factory. Maybe it's where we work when we eat breakfast at Zach's, or wherever you eat breakfast. You are the resurrection people. Did you know that? You are the ones that inherit the surprise of the first Easter. But you are also the ones called to be a witness. Do not be taken by surprise if on the great day when you see Jesus and he still saves you, that he's disappointed that you didn't listen to the whole message of the resurrection story. But hopefully you'll be surprised by all the people at heaven who will meet you and will say, "Miss Donna, thank you for loving me as a youth and setting my feet towards heaven. Deacon, thank you for loving me and setting my feet towards heaven." You see, that means we have shared the surprise of the resurrection with another, and it has given them true life. Jesus said to them, "Rejoice. Rejoice this morning. Rejoice, your Savior lives. Rejoice and be glad. Because as he lives, so shall you. Rejoice. As Paul says, you have not even begun to comprehend the joy that awaits you in heaven. You cannot understand. It's so great, so marvelous. Rejoice, Jesus said. Do not be afraid. You have nothing to fear, my friends. Nothing at all. You don't have to fear rejection because they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Christ. You don't have to fear people making fun of you because you share the fellowship with Jesus because they did the same thing to him. You don't have to fear anything. You don't have to fear losing your job because your safety and security in this world is not dependent upon a job. You do not need to be afraid of anything. You'll live forever. My brethren, he said. That means all that have come to him. All those who are his disciples. It means men and women who are his disciples. My brethren, go to Galilee. Go to the place where you're to minister. Go start spreading the gospel news. And there they will see me. Do you know you still, when you walk in faith and in obedience to the Lord, those are the times you see him. When you're about the work that he set all believers, not just preachers, not just evangelists, not just deacons, all to share the gospel in their own particular Galilee, there you will see him. I have been engaged with a number of lost people in this community. Now, unlike you, as I've often told you, I have to go out of my way to be with lost people because most of my time is spent with you wonderful saved souls. And while the care of your soul is my responsibility, the lost, just like for you, are also my responsibility. And let me tell you something. With a couple of them that I have been engaged, I am seeing a change. But you know who I see in that change? I see the loving hand of God. I witness his presence. Hallelujah, the Lord is risen. He's risen indeed. And he's touched us with the surprise of salvation. And he has called us even as those who first saw him to be about his mission. Knowing that we walk in this world, chosen of Christ, elected unto eternal salvation, and called to a holy purpose. That we live in him in this world. Hallelujah. Because he lives, we have received not a dead faith, but a living faith. Happy Easter, everyone. The Lord lives, and because he lives, so shall you. Amen.